Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. I trust you have your Bibles tonight. We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and a few other passages tonight. And I trust the Lord will bless the thought He's laid upon my heart tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight for the privilege given us as a people to gather together in this place, the meeting of this local New Testament church, that we can sing and pray and then gather around the preaching of the Word of God. We thank you for each one who has come tonight. And I pray that you would give us something in our own heart and lives that will make a difference in our service to thee. I pray that you'll save anyone that might be lost and stir the heart of every believer tonight. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I'm going to ask a couple of questions tonight. You don't have to answer it by speaking out, and try not to answer it by the way you look or show the expression on your face. But let me ask you this question. Has anyone ever told you that you are stubborn? Oh, my goodness, I got an answer real quick. Most of us have a stubborn streak in us, and somebody usually at some point in time musters up enough to be able to tell you that you are stubborn. We as stubborn people, we love to make excuses for our stubbornness, don't we? Amen. All right. Oftentimes we blame it on our ancestors. We say, well, that's the way my daddy was. Or that's the way my mama was. And therefore, that's the way I am. We go around in our merry ways persistently ignoring other people's opinions, their feelings, and their needs. We follow our own course of action in spite of reasons, arguments, or persuasions, refusing to give in to others in any issue whatsoever. As a matter of fact, a stubborn person often thinks like this: I'm right and everybody else is wrong. We may, as stubborn people, not only not give in to people as we often do, but you'll find many times that stubborn people demonstrate that they don't give in to people because stubborn people oftentimes don't give in to God. In other words, we decide that even the master can't get us to get rid of our stubbornness. We are obstinate toward others and resistant to change because we choose to be stubborn. Our reasons may be one of many things. It may be pride. It may be self-centeredness. It may be a desire for personal convenience. It may be insecurity. It may be a lack of self-esteem. Or it even may be just an old-fashioned love for sin. But stubbornness is kind of a common thing that exists among God's people. We find ourselves just refusing to change no matter what someone else may think. But stubbornness is an attitude which we choose to have. But one thing about stubbornness that is very definite when you study the Word of God, stubbornness is contrary to the mind of God's Spirit. In other words, it's not the will of God that I choose to be stubborn. And now, we're talking about the importance today of serving Almighty God. The older I get, the longer I'm around, and the way I see the world today, we need to come to the point, if there's ever a time in life we need to serve God, it's today. But stubbornness is something that can keep me from serving Almighty God. The Bible teaches us that we ought to, when it comes to serving God, not to be known as stubborn, but be known as a man, woman, boy, or girl who has come to the point in his life that I'm going to serve this God with what I call a willing mind. A willing mind. Now, let me define for you tonight what I consider to be a willing mind. There are three things that ought to exist in my life or your life if I'm serving God with a willing mind instead of serving God as a stubborn person. Three things ought to happen when one has a willing mind. First of all, a willing mind ought to be open to God's thoughts. If I want to serve God, it's not about what I want. It's about what God wants in and through me. So the first aspect of a willing mind, if I'm going to serve God, which is necessary and the only thing that God accepts today, that if I'm going to serve Him, God says, I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to beat you over the head. I will chasten you if you go contrary to me. But I want you to serve me with a willing mind. Therefore, your mind ought to be conscious and open to God's thoughts. Secondly, a willing mind is not only open to God's thoughts, but a willing mind is ready to do His will. It's not my will, Lord. It's your will that I'm concerned about. I want to serve you. So as I go into this world, I want to serve you with a willing mind. Therefore, my mind is open to your thoughts and my mind is ready to do your will. Third thing about a willing mind is not only am I open to God's thoughts and ready to do God's will, but a willing mind is eager to please Him. In other words, whatever I do in service, I don't want to resist. I don't want to be stubborn. I want to have a willing mind. Therefore, my mind at all times in everything I say, everything that I do, every place that I go, is open to the thoughts of God, ready to do His will and eager to please Him. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to give us several things tonight about people who serve God with a willing mind, what will happen in your life. And by the way, this would happen regardless of the condition of my environment or the consequences of what I do. These things will happen in my life because I am not stubborn. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And I have conditioned my mind to be willing to be open to His thoughts, ready to do His will, and eager to please Him. The first thought is found here in Nehemiah, chapter number 4. We understand that Nehemiah and his people were building the walls. There was all kinds of opposition outside. There was Sanballat and Tobiah and all of these people that were mocking them and making fun of them and trying to stop them. But that wasn't enough. Back in chapter number 3, there were all, the Bible says, the nobles, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. So he had opposition. Here's Nehemiah. We're going to build the wall. The Bible says in verse number 6, so built we the wall. They accomplished that because the people who were building the walls were not stubborn, but they were people with a willing mind that says, I want to be open to what God wants in my life. And therefore, they finished the wall because of a willing mind. And they came to the point in their life, I'm convinced that this is God's work. I'm convicted if I don't do it. And therefore, I'm courageous to do it regardless of opposition outward or opposition inward. I've got a willing mind that's open to God's thoughts, ready to do God's will, and eager to please Him. Would to God that will be our attitude when it comes to working for God. The work of God requires a willing mind, a willingness to work for God regardless of the opposition outward or the opposition inward, because my mind, which I have decided to do, this is a choice that I have made. I understand my purpose in life. I understand why I work. I understand why I do what I do. I understand why I preach. I've come to the point in my mind where my mind is open to the thoughts of God, ready to do His will, and I'm working to please Him. Therefore, I'm going to work regardless of opposition, outward or inward. So people with a willing mind will work for God. So if I have a willing mind, there's no such thing as quit working for God, because I know who I'm working for, and I've conditioned my mind to do that. Then I want you to turn back to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. People who have a willing mind will work for God regardless of opposition inward and outward, because they're convinced, convicted, and courageous that they know who they're working for. A second thing will happen for those who have willing minds. Willing-minded people will work for God. The second thing about willing-minded people, and listen to me very carefully and buckle your seatbelts, willing-minded people will not only work for the Lord, but willing-minded people will give to the Lord. And I could give all kinds. I want to give you a few illustration of that here. In Exodus chapter 25, we see the building of the tabernacle. I want you to notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it," notice this, "willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Here we find the building of the tabernacle. We find here that they were building the tabernacle, and God says, if I'm going to build my house, I want people who are willing to give. They have a willing mind. They're open. They're open to my thoughts. They're ready to do my will. They are eager to please me. Therefore, I want them to understand this is the house of God. This is the work of God. And I want people to help build the tabernacle based on a willing mind. A willing mind. Turn to chapter 35 here in this same here book, Exodus chapter 35, and look there for just a few moments. We're talking about people who have a willing mind. They're willing to work for the Lord because they're convinced, convicted, and courageous. They're willing to give to the Lord. They're willing to give to the Lord to build the tabernacle here. Now, in 35, we find they're giving for the articles in the tabernacle. I want you to notice their attitude. Look, if you would, in verse number 4 of Exodus chapter 35. "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linens and goat's hair." Here we find here, God says, we not only need to build my house, but God says we need to furnish my house. but I want in my house for my people who have a willing mind to give with a willing heart. So here we find the attitude of the people. Look down in verse 21 as it continues here, talking about the attitude. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and so on. So he says, when it comes to the work of God, I want to build my work, whether it's building my house, whether it's furnishing it, whatever I'm doing it, I want people to be able to give with a willing heart. And by the way, if we were, and we won't look there in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the same thing happened with the temple. So the problem today, and by the way, we all know this one thing that causes many of us to stiffen our backs and become stubborn is when you touch my pocketbook. When you touch my money, by the way, I'll take the my out. When you touch God's money that I'm managing, you can really get me upset. You know, God says, I am not hard up. He says, I gave my son to die for the world, and I've been building my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And he says, I've got some people that are not going to be stubborn, but I've got some people that have a willing heart because they have a willing mind, and they will not only give to build my house, but they will give to furnish my house. They will give to repair my house. They'll do whatever I need done, and I won't have to force them. They will do it with a willing heart. And God's still looking for that in people today. Now, thank God, here at Crossroads Baptist Church, we have some of those kind of people. We have people in our church that have come to the point where they are concerned about the thoughts of God. They are concerned about pleasing God. They are concerned about being ready to serve Him. And therefore, there's always an attitude when it comes to giving that people are not hesitant about doing it, not because we don't have to do without some things. It's because I've come to a point in my life, I've trained my mind. I'm on my thought life. I know why I exist. I know who I am. I know that I'm a manager. I know that I'm a steward. I know that I belong to God. And whatever I do when it comes to the work of God, when it comes to giving to the house of God or the tabernacle, or whatever I'm doing or repairing or giving or helping when it comes to the local New Testament church, I have come to the point in my life where I have a willing mind because I'm open to what God's thoughts are, ready to do His will, and eager to please Him. And by the way, I preach missions conferences all the time, so I'm talking about money a lot in different places. And I tell people all the time, giving is a part of worship. Worship. You find me a stubborn, stingy person, and I will automatically tell you that that's an unspiritual person. That is not. Spiritual people don't have a problem giving to the work of God because they understand the mind of God. All right, so people who have a willing mind, first of all, are willing to work for the Lord. People who have a willing mind are willing to give to the work of God. And then I want you to go to the New Testament, and we're going to look at, for just a moment, the book of Acts, chapter number 17. We're talking about learning to serve God with a willing mind. A willing mind. Not being stubborn, but coming to the point in my life where I have trained my mind and my thoughts to be open to God's thoughts, ready to do His will, and eager to please Him. Therefore, I'm willing to work for the Lord. I'm willing to give to the Lord. And thirdly, people who have a willing mind are willing to receive His word. Here we find in Acts chapter number 17, the Apostle Paul, this evangelist missionary, had gone into Thessalonica there, preaching the word of God, and the Thessalonians stirred up a disturbance there that caused Paul and Silas to leave. And the Bible says they go into Berea. We're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 17, verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, whose coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now we find here that the people in Thessalonica could have very easily gone to Berea and told the people in Berea the problems they were having with Paul and Silas. But the Bereans were these kind of people. The Bible says these men are coming with the word of God. And they said, we've told our minds that we're open to God's thoughts. We're ready to do God's will. We're eager to please him. And the Bible says they were had willing minds. Willing minds are minds that are unbiased by preconceived notions and ready to be taught by God's Spirit. You know how many people today don't listen to the Bible, don't go to good Bible-believing churches, don't do certain things because they have been influenced by negative things by other people. Would to God that we'd raise up some Christian people that can set their minds to say, I'm not afraid to listen to the Word of God and decide what I'm going to do based upon what the Word of God teaches me and the Spirit of God leads me. And that doesn't mean I'm going to be blind to take everything that I hear preached or taught. But they not only heard what Paul said without accepting what the Thessalonians said, but they also said, I know enough about my God that I'm going to dig into the Bible and check it out myself. That's what y'all want to train our minds to do. So many people, I had a call the other day, somebody talking about something they heard somebody say, some preacher said on the internet that somebody had preached about and they're confused about it. And I say to myself, if you know what you believe, and first of all, I said a little bit more than that, people who are in good Bible-believing churches are not searching for the internet to try to find something. If you're getting the Bible preached to you, you ought to be learning something that you can go and search the scriptures, and the Spirit of God that lives in us ought to teach us something, because we have trained our minds to say, hey, let me tell you something. I can think. I'm not afraid for somebody to open the Bible. That's why you should never be afraid for a preacher to stand behind the pulpit. If he opens up the King James Bible and preaches something, you ought to be open to hear it. And then when he finished, you ought to look down and check it out yourself. You know, be afraid of things where people says, don't open your Bible, but just take what I say. But you ought to thank God when somebody says, open up your Bible. Because all of a sudden they're going to preach something to you, and you ought to say, I'm going to receive it, but I'm not just going to take it as just what he says. I'm going to dig into it myself and search it and let the Spirit of God. That's what a willing mind will do. A willing mind will always receive the Word of God. That's why you ought to be never concentrate so much on the minister as you do on the message. If he gives you the Word of God, then you ought to receive the Word of God, and then you have every right, every liberty to be able to search the scriptures and learn it. That's what a ready mind will do. A willing mind, the Bible says, is willing to work for the Lord. A willing mind is willing to give to the Lord. A willing mind is to receive his word. And then I want you to turn over one more book to Romans chapter number 1. We're talking about serving God with a willing mind. Many Christian people today serve God with a stubborn mind. And by the way, whether I'm stubborn or willing is my choice. That is not something I'm born with. That is something I decide to do. And one thing I need to decide to do in my Christian life, that if I'm going to have a willing mind. And by the way, let me pause here while I'm thinking about it. I have never seen, in almost 40 years of being a Christian, more stubborn, selfish Christian people than in the day in which we live. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about heathens. I'm talking about saved people. There are Christian people who go to church, walk in the church, determined, I'm only going to take what I want to take, and the rest of it I'm going to ignore. That's not a ready mind. That's not a willing mind. A willing mind, you know, a willing mind ought to come to church every single time, and we ought to bring into the church a mind that the Word of God can mend. I mean, there are problems in all of us that Bible preaching and Bible teaching and Bible reading and praying will get out of us. I don't know about you. There's never a day in my life that I don't need something for God to correct. And for the life of me, I don't want to understand people who go to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, time after time, and never change. Never give up anything. Never give up things in their life that are very obvious to everybody else. And I can't, for the life of me, can't figure out why it's not obvious to them. It's the mind. It's a mindset. I've determined I'm going to put in this mind what I want and decide what I want to do. I am not open to the thoughts of God. Can you imagine a Christian not being open to the thoughts of God? Can you imagine a Christian not being ready to do God's will? Can you imagine a Christian not being eager to please God? In order to get that point in my life where I'm that stubborn, I have already decided what I'm going to adhere to, what I'm going to accept, what I'm going to believe, what I'm going to do. And if it doesn't line up with what I see, I don't care if the preacher says it. I don't care if mama says it. I don't care if daddy says it. I'm just not going to do it. That's stubbornness all written up in the person who thinks like that. But a willing mind is willing to work for the Lord because they're convicted. They're convinced. They're courageous enough. I know who I'm working for. I'm open to his thoughts. I'm ready to do his will. I'm willing to please him. I'm willing to give to the work of God. A willing mind person has no problem paying tithes and offerings and giving to the work of God. A willing mind will receive the word. That's why we come. I come to church when the Bible is open, and I can't imagine, and by the way, anybody who comes to church and hear the Bible preach and you get nothing out of it, that tells me you don't have a willing mind. You cannot hear this book 30, 35, 40 minutes of the Bible preach and not get something. Fourthly, a willing mind is willing to share the gospel. In Romans chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." Here we find the Apostle Paul when he talks about ready. He's talking about being eager. And it's that word ready there is an adjective to the same word we find back in Acts chapter 17, where it talks about a readiness of mind or a willing mind. So here's what he's saying. Paul is saying, I have a willing mind. I am ready to preach the gospel whenever God wants me to preach it. And I believe he wants me to preach it in Rome. I'm willing to go. So a willing mind, a mind who's open to the thoughts of God. Think about this. A mind who is ready to do God's will. A mind who's willing to please God. That's what I want to do. Has to be a Christian who is willing to share the gospel. If your mind is a willing mind, then you have to have in your mind that which is pleasing to God. And it should be, you ought to be willing to give out a tract. You ought to be willing to win somebody to Christ. You ought to be willing to witness. You ought to be willing to pray for somebody to get saved. What more do we exist in this world than to get people to know the Lord Jesus Christ? And people who are saved and on their way to heaven, at every opportunity, this mind should be conditioned that I'm willing to share the gospel with a family member or a friend or a coworker or somebody in the grocery store or somebody on the bus or somebody on the metro, because that's where my mind is. I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about the thoughts of God. A willing mind is a mind that is willing to share the gospel. And then one more, and then we're done. Go back to Matthew, chapter 26. A willing mind to serve the Lord. Without a doubt, that's what is needed in our world today. A willing mind, first of all, is willing to work for the Lord. A willing mind is willing to give to the Lord. A willing mind is willing to receive His word. A willing mind is willing to share the gospel. And then lastly, a willing mind is willing to live a holy life. Now, I want to explain this one to you. This is a story in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus had met with his disciples just before he went to Calvary in the upper room. Then he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. He tells 8 of them, sit yonder outside the gate. He brings with him Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. Peter, James, and John were always willing to go where Jesus went, always wanting to be where Jesus was. Always, and they were invited to go. They were there when many of the miracles Jesus did. When he raised Jairus' daughter, he took with him Peter, James, and John. Now he's about to take on the sins of the world. That night before he went to Calvary, he goes to dark Gethsemane. The greatest thing, the most trying time in his ministry before he went to Calvary took place this night. He says, sit yonder, 8 of them outside the gate. He brings with him Peter, James, and John. And he tells them in verse 40, if you look there, he said, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit of the mind is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. I believe that many Christians, a good percentage of Christian people, want to live a holy and righteous life. We want to do right. We want to serve right. We want to look right. We want to be right. But the Bible reminds us something. I've got to do 2 things to live holy and godly in this world. First of all, I've got to determine that's what I want to do. That's what I tell my mind. But the Bible told Peter, James, and John, they wanted to stay awake and watch with Jesus. But he reminded them of something that we need to be reminded of today. The spirit or the mind is willing, but the flesh is still weak. We live in a flesh that's wicked, will always be wicked. And we can tell our minds, I want to do right. But what God is saying, if you want to live a righteous life, you not only need to tell your mind that's where it started, but you need to depend upon me to get it done. You need to learn to pray and get in your Bible and trust upon God, because nobody is going to live a holy, consistent life today without conditioning the mind that's what I want to do, and depending upon God to help me do it, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, always will be weak, will continue to be weak. But the Bible tells us that if I take my life and condition my mind to do right. And then through prayer and trust and walking in the Spirit, I can live a holy, righteous life, not because of me, but because my mind is willing and I'm depending upon God to help me get it done. I believe without a doubt that the problem we're having today in Christianity is that there are too many of us finding ourselves being too stubborn because we're depending upon what we want out of our life rather than trusting upon Him. The question is tonight, are you serving God with a willing mind? That means you have told your mind intentionally. This is something you have decided to do, that I'm going to live my life with this thought in mind. I'm going to be dependent, open to God's thoughts. What is it that God wants out of my life? When He tells me that, I am ready to do His will over my will. And I'm going to live, work, pray, sing, preach, do everything I can to please Him. If I have that kind of a mind, I will work for the Lord. I'll give to the Lord. I'll witness to the Lord. I'll walk in holiness. And I'll be everything that God wants me to be because I have a willing mind to serve Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. By the way, if you've never come to the point in your life where you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means that you've never told your mind that I need to consider what I've heard, or I need to consider what I've read, or I need to consider what somebody's told me about the Word of God. If I get it in my mind, then God will put it in my heart to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repent of my sins, and be saved. That's the most important thing that anyone can ever tell their mind to do. You're a Christian tonight. I want you to give this thought in mind. Are you serving God with a willing mind? Are you working with conviction? Are you working with confidence? Are you working courageously? Because you're convinced. You're convinced by what you're doing. You have no problem giving. You have no problem receiving the Word of God. You come to church looking to receive the Word of God. You have no problem sharing the gospel. And you're doing everything that you can to tell your mind, I'm going to walk in holiness. I know I can't do it on my own, but I'm going to trust God to be able to help me. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to have an invitation. And maybe tonight, you need to come and ask God to help you get your mind where it needs to be to please Him. Our Father, we're thankful. We're thankful that we can have a part in how we serve You. It begins when we decide that we're going to have a willing mind. And the rest will take care of itself. And I pray tonight that You would search every heart here. Are we working for You with that kind of a mind? Are we willing to give because of that kind of mind? Are we willing to witness because of that kind of mind? Are we willing to receive teaching and preaching because of that kind of mind? Are we willing to live holy because we've told our mind, that's what I need to do, and then lean upon You to help us to get it done? Give us a willing mind to serve You in difficult times in this world. Now again, if there be one here who's not saved, Lord, help them come. Let us take a Bible, show them from God's Word how to be saved. How to have eternal life begins when the mind will understand that Jesus died, the Spirit is raised from the dead. one put their faith and trust in Him. I believe He died, was buried, was raised from the dead. Repent of his sins. They can be saved eternally. You bless the invitation time. Speak to hearts. I pray in Christ's name.